This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Welcome to the Rocks Pile Podcast, part of Fansided Podcast Network. Here are your hosts, Kevin Henry and Noah Yingling.
And welcome into the late night version of the Rocks Pile Rockies Report. I am Noah Yingling, one of the co-experts of Rocks Pile. And as always, I'm joined by Kevin Henry, who... I say late night. It's actually, depending on what time you're considering, it's late night for you, but early morning for me. But anyways, how are you?
Well, you know, good. Quite an evening at Coors Field. Anytime the Padres come to Coors, you just know something crazy is going to happen at least once during the series. And it feels like tonight was that night when the Padres and Rockies decided to go all Coors all the time.
And let it be known that there was a controversial play at the plate between the Rockies and Padres, and Bud Black isn't happy with the call. We've never seen that before.
Yeah, I don't think we have. I think that that is a brand new thing that the universe has thrown out there. I can't think of any other time that that's ever happened, even in, October. That's just crazy. So,
and especially when the catcher's at the plate without the ball. And then the runner has to go around and most definitely touch home plate.
Yep.
Never seen that before.
Well, let's give some props to Bud. You know, and I think Bud doesn't get enough credit for the job that he does with the roster he's given. And I love the fact that the dude shows emotion. The dude, if he believes he's right, he will let the ump know that. And I think it's good for his players to see that he's still got his heart into this. And it doesn't matter the record. It doesn't matter anything else. He's going to go out there and protest what he thinks is right for one of his players. And I think that that's something that, you know, we don't ever get to see that side of Bud just with his players. But I don't think you can underestimate how much of an impact that it makes when a manager is admired by his clubhouse, because I think that's one of the big things we saw with Toronto, letting their manager go.
Yeah.
He lost the clubhouse, and I don't think there's a situation that come up that Bud Black would lose the clubhouse.
I mean, even on the south side of Chicago, they have a Hall of Famer managing them. They yep. quite literally have a Hall of Famer managing them, and he's lost their clubhouse.
Yeah. Yeah, and you look at how a La Russa, you know, even a Charlie Montoyo, how were they viewed versus what Bud is doing? And I know the White Sox were expected to do great things. I know the Blue Jays were expected to do great things. Bud's good buddy, Mr. Madden, out there with the Angels whenever he was let go. You know, Joe Girardi. Big things were expected. I know not much was expected from the Rockies this year, but still, the fact that Bud keeps that ship going forward and the fact that those players still play hard for him and for that team, I think it says a lot.
Yeah, and I mean, they – unless something drastically happens here in the next 2.5 weeks, they're going to be sellers.
Yeah.
To what extent, we don't know, but I think he's done well with the cards he's been given him.
Absolutely.
I mean, he doesn't have the best deck on there at the table, but I mean, if you were to say, okay, the Rockies are 9 games under .500 and they've gotten less than 30 games from Bryant.
Mm-hmm.
And they have exactly 3 players with an OPS plus above league average. And they have 2 starting pitchers at or above league average. And really, you've had 3 good relievers, yep. Bard, Colome, and Gilbreth. I mean, I would have said, yeah, probably lower than 9 games below .500.
I agree.
Speaking of which, this and we played this game last year. Rockies by WAR. Crone, and this is Baseball References WAR. Crone is number 1.
Okay.
Number two is Brendan Rodgers, and especially after that awful April he had, says something. Daniel Bard is three. Ryan McManus, four. If you would have said Chad Kuhl was five, I would have said you were nuts.
Right.
Maybe the fifth starter, but not fifth overall on the team. Sixth is Connor Joe. Seventh is Tyler Kinley. And Tyler Kinley hasn't pitched in a month.
Nope.
Charlie Blackman is next. Kyle Freeland is number nine. Can you tell me who 10 and 11 are? You never, ever would have guessed at the beginning of the year.
Did you mention Daza in there? Did I blink?
No.
Okay.
He is not in the top 12.
Okay. All right. Give me 10 and 11 then.
Jose Urania and Brian Servin.
How about that, huh? That's pretty crazy, to be honest with you. Yeah. That really is. Urania
is number 10.
Wow. And you know, you're right. I don't think we saw Chad Kuhl, what he was going to do this year. You know, there's a lot of surprises in that top 12. And then it goes back to what you were saying about how active are the Rockies going to be at the trade deadline. Is Chad Kuhl really on the move? I know you wrote an article today for Rockspile on some destinations that could use Chad Kuhl. But yet, I know our friend Daniel Allentuck with the Gazette pretty much heard from Bill Schmidt that it may be a very quiet deadline again for the Rockies. And I look at this roster and I see tonight, let's just focus on tonight. You've got Chad Kuhl, who started the game. Didn't have the best game, let's be perfectly honest.
No.
Alex Colome, who left last night with a hamstring, what they're calling, I believe, a strain. Very mild one, though. They're expecting him to come back. Not a significant strain, but could be 2 or 3 days before he's available again. That's CJ Krohn gets hit in the wrist, still is not 100%. You know, those you're talking about some pretty big possibilities, potential trade pieces there that are all either didn't look the best or are having some issues. And so I wonder, much like a lot of the talk has been around Frankie Montas with the A's and his shoulder, how much is the injuries and what they're doing right before the All-Star break going to impact how teams look at them to possibly pick them up after the All-Star break, if the Rockies even make them available?
The one player, and I really think, as especially since our last podcast, it's either the last podcast or the podcast episode before, we predicted, I think, like three, maybe four guys would be traded.
Yep.
I really hope it's not the case, but I wouldn't be surprised if only one is traded.
And who's that one then?
Jose Iglesias.
Who had a heck of a game tonight, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. And I think, you know, one thing that I know you're working on for Rockspile now is about how Ezekiel Tovar has shot up the prospect list. And I think the pieces are starting to come together that Tovar could be at Coors on schedule or ahead of schedule. So Iglesias going somewhere else the way that he's playing right now and having a you know, a patch for that until Tovar is ready. An Alan Trejo, you know, a Hampson. I think there's a lot of opportunities there. And I think that that's the most logical play. You know, even how Urania has looked, you know, I still think if you take Chad Kuhl out of the equation, you're still talking a very thin rotation.
Yes.
So I think the one place that it makes the most sense is with Iglesias. I agree with that completely.
Side note, I don't know if you knew this. You probably if you probably do, but I'm just being an idiot. But I was today years old when I found out that Jose Iglesias and CJ Krohn were born on the same exact day in the same exact year.
You know, that has been bantered around a little bit in the press box at Coors. I will say it's a very weird, and I guess they discovered it themselves in spring training. So I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall for that conversation. you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
January 5th, 1990. By the way, if you want to feel old, Kevin, you're going to feel old anyways. there are exactly four players on the Rockies that were born before 1990.
Yeah.
Bard, Blackman, Chacin, and Colomé.
There you go. Those were the four I had in my head. And we're just, you know, getting into that. You know, every time I see a Zach Bean highlight, every time I see a Tovar highlight, I go, oh, I know how old they are. So
Montero. Montero is younger than I am.
Yep. Montero, gosh. Montero's such an interesting thing. And maybe we'll talk about this after the break. But I will tell you, Montero is in a really, really tough situation with the Rockies right now. Not just because of the playing time, but the way that the roster is kind of taking shape. So why don't we hold that thought for just a second, and let's tackle that here after the break on the Rocks Pile Rockies Report. And Kevin Henry backs alongside my friend and co-expert Noah Yingling. We are the guys who run rockspile.com. We appreciate you reading our stuff and listening to this podcast. So, Noah, for the break, I was talking about Montero, and there's going to be a situation come up likely Thursday afternoon when Chris Bryant returns from paternity leave. I understand that that is going to be when Chris Bryant comes back to the Rockies. And I've got a whole other thing to talk about with Chris Bryant here in a minute. But the Rockies are going to have to make a move. They brought Sam Hilliard up when Chris Bryant went on the paternity leave. I don't think Sam Hilliard is leaving whenever Chris Bryant comes back. I think it's going to be Montero. And I think the way that Hilliard has been playing last night and tonight's game, I think that they are going to give him another chance to do what he can do in the outfield, to provide that power bat. And I just don't think that Montero is going to get the playing time that they want him to. And I think he's going to be the odd man out whenever the roster move's made.
And frankly, I think that's a mistake.
Agreed. Well, I think for
Montero's sake, two, too many outfielders.
I agree. But here's my thought. Would I rather have Montero hitting in Albuquerque or sitting on the bench in Colorado? Because he's not going to play. I mean, it's been made very clear he's not going to play. So, but yet Sam Hilliard is going to be inserted back in the lineup. So, I agree with you. Don't get me wrong. But if I were a betting man, that would be the bet that's coming.
Yeah, I would 100% bet that, and I would 100% cringe at betting that.
Yeah.
That's one thing with the Rockies where whether it's Bud Black, whether it's the powers that be in the front office, I think that is one of their weaknesses of, okay, we're going to give name whatever veteran you want. Mm-hmm. I mean, even – in from yesteryear, Ian Desmond, whoever, we're going to give all this playing time to this veteran that hasn't showed us much. Granted, Hilliard's been better in the last few games, but you have all these guys that, okay, we have, assuming Bryant is back, this Bryant, Joe, Daza, Grichuk, Blackman. Assuming when he gets off the injured list, Bouchard, I assume, is going to head down. Okay, you aren't going to trade any of these guys away at the trade deadline. You aren't going to trade Grichuk. You aren't going to trade Blackman. Granted, with Blackman, your hands are kind of tied there because he could say no to a trade.
Sure.
You aren't going to trade Crone. You aren't contending this year. If you do, prove me wrong. Please. I will be more than happy to say I was wrong, but you have all these roadblocks in for your younger players and you're saying, okay, these are your guys that you're going to be relying on in the future and why you're still trying to hold on to the past.
Right. I agree with you. And I think Montero is in a really difficult position right now because he's not going to get the playing time with the way its roster is currently constructed. And unless they go very un-Colorado-like and shake up that roster, I don't see it happening next year either. Because Krohn will be back. McMahon will be back.
Yeah.
Chuck will be back.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
count on that.
Chuck, he'll take a 50% pay cut, but if he wants to stay in Colorado,
he'll be back
in Colorado if he wants.
And one thing that Charlie Blackman said that was really interesting after the game last night, he was talking about how that he has embraced the DH role more because he's learned that the rest does him good. And he even talked about how that when Nolan took a day off, Nolan would come back and just scorch the ball. And he said he's actually discovered that being the DH, he's kind of changed his tune a little bit on it because he hated it so much. Now all of a sudden he's seen the benefits of it.
Yeah.
So again, Chuck's not going anywhere. And you know, the way that Chuck's hitting, great. Keep doing you, Chuck. But where are you going to play Montero if those three pieces are coming back?
And if you thought it was so necessary to trade Nolan Arenado, and the key piece was Montero, why aren't you going to give him playing time?
Yeah, that there's no answer, to be honest with you. So, yeah,
and people wonder why national media they question what the Rockies are doing. And say, oh, they must be idiots. It's because they're doing stuff like that. We're like, okay, you're going to sign Arenado. You know you can't afford him. So you essentially put yourself in a corner, and the only team that will trade for him is the Cardinals. And they will only do that because you're giving them $50
million. Right.
So you try to get a semi-decent prospect return. And the biggest prospect in it, you aren't going to give any playing time.
Yeah.
Makes absolutely no sense.
And I think that we've got to look at, you know, look around Major League Baseball right now. Julio Rodriguez in Seattle. You know, you look at all the guys who are set up to be the leaders for NL and AL Rookie of the Year. The biggest thing that I see is guys that got a chance to show what they could do. You know, think about the impact that Julio Rodriguez has made and the excitement that there has been around him. Even earlier in the year, a Spencer Torkelson. Even earlier in the year, a Bobby Witt Jr. Even later in the year, Mr. Harris there with the Atlanta Braves. Spencer Strider, you know, with the Braves as well. There are a lot of guys that when given the chance at a young age, they've been able to show what they can do. And look back at Brendan Rodgers. I think that that's a really good example because Brendan Rodgers took so long to finally get into the lineup. Now, he's showing what he can do this year because he settled in at second, he's healthy, and he's had the chance to get all the at-bats that he needs. Granted, the start of the year was horrible. But since then, he's become, as you, I believe, said in our last podcast, he's played like an all-star. But it took how long for Brendan Rodgers to finally find a place and enough playing time to actually make that happen.
And another thing as well is, okay, they've, to use a term that some Rockies personnel have used before, they've kind of pigeonholed him there at second.
Yep.
Oh, he can't play short. We're not playing him at short. Okay. So now you're pigeonholing him at second. If you didn't and actually moved him to short, you could put McMahon at second and then actually give Montero some playing time.
Sure.
Granted, he's not great defensively at third, but it's not like you're going to be in the playoffs this year. Again, on that, that's another thing where they could they make the playoffs? Sure. But they have a 0.2% chance of making it.
Yeah. You know, but you look
so much has to go right for it to happen.
Oh, absolutely. I agree completely. You know, and what's one of the biggest stories, or I should say two of the biggest stories that you have heard this past week has been the great play of the Baltimore Orioles and the great play of the Seattle Mariners. And you know what? Good for them. Long winning streaks. Good for them. But are they near the top of their division? Now they're getting in wild card contention.
Yeah.
You know, but still, the Astros are still winning. The Yankees are still winning. And yeah, the same would be said if the Rockies went on a 10-game winning streak. The Dodgers are probably going to keep winning. So would it really get them back into contention to put something like that together? And if it does, would that be because they actually tried to put a Montero in, or Sam Hilliard suddenly came back and was Mickey Mantle .2?
Or, hear me out, what if the Rockies are buyers at the trade deadline?
I think that would be some galaxy brain stuff going on.
Yep.
I'm just going to tell you, that would. But, you know,
for most teams, I would say absolutely no way. But for the Rockies.
Well, I wouldn't have thought the Orioles were going to be. I mean, Pablo Lopez, they're looking at getting him from the Marlins. I mean, yeah, it's insane.
And mind you, the Marlins are 3 games ahead of the Rockies.
Huh, interesting.
And that's the problem, is the Mariners and Orioles are in the American League. The American League is not a good league.
It's certainly not.
In past years, it was always the National League. But once you get past the division leaders, I mean, Tampa, they're on pace for about 90 wins. Boston, mid-80s. Seattle, mid-80s. Toronto, mid-80s. Boston, Seattle, and Toronto are tied for the as we're recording this, they are tied for the second and third wild card spots, and one being out. They each are 47 and 42.
I don't even know, man. I mean, seriously.
The Rockies, if they had a 10-game winning streak, they would have to be even in the playoff picture, they'd have to leapfrog the Marlins, Phillies, and Giants. Yeah. And one of the Padres and Cardinals. It's not going to happen.
I don't believe that.
Too many teams. It's as simple as that. It's not going to happen.
I agree completely. And I think that that's where reality comes into play at this trade deadline in a lot of ways is, okay, you know, as Danielle wrote in her column, you know, Bill Schmidt said that there are guys who want to be here. That's great. You know, and I think it's good that a Chad Kuhl comes in from the, and I'm using air quotes here, outside and pitches well at Coors. I think it's good that a Jose Urania can come in and show that he can pitch at altitude. That's great. I think that's good for the Rockies moving forward to hopefully get some of these pitchers to get that Coors stigma out of their mind if they can throw the ball down low. Bud Black talked extensively about that yesterday and how important that was. But is Chad Kuhl part of the future of your rotation? And as MLB Trade Rumors wrote earlier today, if you say, yes, Chad Kuhl's our guy, guess what? You've just locked yourself into the same exact rotation for next year.
Yeah.
All 5 guys are back. So.
And what have all 5 guys done for you this year?
You know, there's been stretches where they've been great. But, you know, your Rollisons, your Lamberts, you know, your Feltners. What happens to them then next year? Is that are they just depth pieces?
Yeah. And I mean, some, as it is with all minor league guys, some of them will pan out, but some of them won't. And you have to realize, okay, it's time to cut this guy from the major leagues because this guy in the minor leagues, we think he's going to be better. But the Rockies, they've extended Senzatella. He's injured again, 5 ERA. They extended Marquez, more than 5.5 ERA. Freeland, he's even got an ERA of 4.75. You got those 3 guys locked up long term. Gomber's pitching to an ERA north of 6. And your best starter's been Chad Kuhl.
Yep.
So, and that's another thing of creating the consistency. Consistency and health. That's the two signs of a non-mediocre team. Mm-hmm. Rockies haven't been consistent, and they haven't been healthy.
Well, and look ahead to Sunday's start. That right now, against the Pirates at Coors Field, is a TBA. And Bud said earlier today he's not sure how that last start of the season is going to pan out. Senza looked good.
Before the All-Star break.
Yeah, sorry, before the All-Star break, absolutely. Senza looked good.
Season doesn't end in July, Kevin.
Well, you know, I hear that you can't
in win, theory.
You can't win the pennant in April, but you can sure lose it, I hear. Yeah. But Senza looked good in his rehab start. You know, I would not be surprised at all if Senza is brought back up for that one start just to see what he looks like, to see if he can lower his hits per nine innings, which is god-awful. But that would at least give them something to think about. But, of course, you bring Senza back, there's a move that needs to be made there.
Yeah. And assuming Senzatel is brought up, what do you do with Urania?
Right. And I think that's the question. I don't think that you can at this point say, well, we'll just, you know, he served his piece. And I forget, was it me and you that were talking about, is he Tim Melville?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and we remember Melville had some great starts and then faded off, as I think you pointed out. I don't think the Rockies can say, this is Tim Melville 2.0, and so they're going to cut Urania right now.
Yeah. Honestly, I kind of wonder, assuming Urania, they keep him around and in the majors. Let's say they even decide to make him the long reliever. Do they finally decide to cut Yelich Yacin?
I think
they maybe even send Austin Gomber to the bullpen. Or Austin Gomber does have a minor league option.
I just can't see that happening. But, I mean, it's an option. I agree with you. It's an option. And I don't think that you do anything. I mean, technically, you could send down a Jake Bird or somebody like that right before the All-Star break. You technically could.
Yeah.
And then have a six-man rotation on paper, at least, for whenever you see the Rockies in Milwaukee right after the All-Star break. But we also know that Bud's not a big fan of the six-man rotation either.
But therein lies the problem with, okay, we're going to give a ton of run of roster spots to veterans that aren't pulling their weight.
Nope.
You wonder why you're in last place. Chassin, now he has an ERA of 7.59. Stevenson got the win, and he had a scoreless inning today, but he still got an ERA of 5.65. Bird has not been great with, particularly with the control.
Yeah,
I think that's been my biggest thing with seeing him, is the control is not where it should be. I mean, he's got an ERA close to 5 now. Block is at 6. Estevez has been better lately, but still he's at 4.5.
Yep.
So and that's the thing. With a playoff team, you have to have 20 of your guys having career years. How many Rockies are having career years this year?
Right.
Maybe 3. Maybe. That's pushing it.
Well, I still think that the Rockies keep Urania around to make a start in Milwaukee.
And they should.
Where he started the season. You know,
they should.
Why not? Yeah. Yeah, I think that is a very real possibility. So,
but something has to give.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's going to be roster moves made. And I think we've talked about the Bryant one, obviously, that it's happening there. But I think that there's going to have to be another pitching move made, obviously, if they decide that Senzatella gets the Sunday start. If not, you know, and they just kind of say, all right, we're just going to turn a blind eye until after the All-Star break. We'll see.
Before we get out of here, though, speaking of Chris Bryant,
yes,
you had a story about him on the Rockies blog.
I did. And I will say, I spent about 15 minutes just one-on-one with Chris Bryant. There's going to be another story coming out on the Rockies blog, as well as lots of stuff coming out on Rocks Pile about Chris Bryant and some of the conversation we had. And congratulations to him as their family is growing. We don't, as of tonight, I don't think there's an actual confirmation the twins have been born yet. But I haven't seen anything official, but I'm sure something will come out before he returns from the paternity list. But I will say that there were a few folks who took issue with Chris Bryant going on the paternity list just as he's starting to hit home runs. Isn't that just like him? Guys, this is a human being. This is a human being who's a dad. You know, I will tell you, Chris Bryant was absolutely 110% right to take, to be put on paternity leave, to leave Arizona, to be with his wife, to welcome the twins into the world, whenever that might be. Just like Josh Hader is okay for missing the All-Star game to be with his newborn. You know, we need to quit saying, well, they're professional athletes. We're paying them X amount of money. You know what? Absolutely. And I understand the frustration that there has been with Bryant this season, and he's heard it. You know, that's one thing he made abundantly clear to me. He understands that there has been frustration. And you can get mad about his back. You can get mad about him taking time to get back, whatever. I don't think you have a leg to stand on if you say he shouldn't have taken time off to be there for the birth of his kids. Sorry, just don't.
Yeah, they're human beings, one. The athletes are. Two, you want to be there for your kids. And three, what's his wife supposed to do?
Right.
I mean, they're married. They have a life outside of their work.
They do.
And it's not fair to any spouse that, oh, okay, my significant other is a pro sports player or whatever sport. And oh, he or she's not going to be around because their job. No, it's not how it works. They're humans, and it is frustrating that he was just heating up after the injury and all that. But again, they're humans. You'll be fine. The fans will be fine.
The fans will be fine. You know, and I understand, again, I get the frustration, but I also look and I say, would Chris Bryant have made the difference in a one-run loss the other night? Maybe.
Yeah.
But is that one game really worth you saying, you know what? Yeah, you need to be there and miss being around your kids right after they're born. No.
And obviously the chance that this would happen is minute, but what if something were to happen to his wife or the kids while she's giving birth? Sure. And he's in Arizona?
Yeah, it's just, it's not.
That would impact him a lot more long-term mentally of, oh, something happened to my wife and or kids because I wasn't there and I was a jackass being in Arizona playing for a team that's not going to make the playoffs this year.
No, and I think we've seen enough this year with all the vaccination stuff and everything going on, and it's a whole other topic, but you know, people putting themselves above team, you know, well, I'm not going to Toronto because I didn't get vaccinated or boosted or whatever it might be. You know what? This is not that case. This is not Chris Bryant putting himself above team. This is Chris Bryant being a family guy.
Yeah.
And not the Fox series, but actually being a dad, a husband.
Yeah, and it is 100% not about him.
No.
You can argue whether or not on the vaccination thing of whether it's about them or about the team, but it's either about the player or about the team. This is about the family.
Right.
Absolutely. Family didn't sign up for him being, I mean, obviously with the amount that he's making, they are going to be set pretty much for life, but they aren't born into the situation of, oh, my dad's a baseball player, so he was in whatever city because he has a job.
Yeah. Yep. Well, we will look forward to seeing Chris Bryant back at Coors Field. He will be back again, reportedly, possibly Thursday. We'll check in. We will be at Coors to let you know about that on Twitter, as well as obviously, again, appreciate the time that he spent with me for what we're going to see on rockspile.com, for what you're going to see on the Rockies blog. It was a really interesting conversation just to get to know him a little bit more and to get some insight as to how this first part of the season's been, because it hasn't been an easy one on any level. But
no. Anyway. We will have plenty more exclusives coming up on the site other than Chris Bryant. One of them we have already teased on Twitter. If you haven't seen what it is, check it out. If not, you'll see it on the site here soon enough. We'll have some others as well. And we already have some ideas for Milwaukee, too, because I will be there in Milwaukee.
So you will be there.
Including one historical article, but you have to know your baseball history well enough.
We will not
know what anniversary will be coming during those 4 days.
Exactly. It is going to be a lot of stuff coming up. Obviously, we have the All-Star break. We have the Home Run Derby. We got a lot coming up next week. We will break it all down on the next podcast. But until then, we have some home games against the Padres and the Pirates to end the first half of the season. And we will be back to break those down as well. So, for my friend and colleague, Noah Yingling, this is Kevin Henry signing off on the Rockspile Rockies Report. And as always, go Rockies.